Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Delicious. Today is, say it with me, people, say it loud. It is Friday, woohoo, May 10th. So here we are, May 10th. I still am not out in my garden. We have these cold winds. It's just miserable. Everywhere I go, people are like, how about this wind? How much do you hate this wind? Reader, we hates the wind. We hates it. So, but I have things to talk about today. I saw something on Threads. Maybe I need to stop looking at Threads, huh? You think yesterday that just really annoyed me, no end. And I nearly replied. I had a whole reply composed and I thought maybe I shouldn't. And, you know, my rule for the internet is anytime I think maybe I shouldn't, then I shouldn't. I think that's probably a good rule of thumb for engagement, so forth. But that doesn't mean I can't rant about it on my podcast. And I want to give a special shout out to Zoe Ellis for telling me that she loves my rants. Kisses to you, Zoe. Because of you, I am going to do this rant. And not to be a tease, but I do have a couple of things I want to talk about. Just some side notes, I don't know, entertainment. I watched The Idea of You with Anne Hathaway and some cute young guy, I forget his name. And it's about an age gap. It's about this 20-year-old boy band lead singer who falls in love with the 40-year-old mother of one of his fans. And it is utterly delightful. I loved it. I had a great time watching it. It scratched the sweet spot for me. And of course, people are all kinds of upset about it, right? People are just losing their shit. So Anne Hathaway is 42 now. She played a 40-year-old in this movie. And apparently, like, people are having fits saying that she didn't look 40. She looks hot. And this movie is hot. There is this great erotic tension in it. It's a lot about Anne Hathaway's character being a divorced mother and deciding to take up this gorgeous young man on his offer. To seize what she wants. I loved that about it. And so it's funny because apparently people think that 40-year-old women don't look like Anne Hathaway looks. And a lot of women have been posting social media, which I think is funny because being the age I am now, when people say things like, post if you're over 40 and you still feel sexy and beautiful. And I'm like, closing in on 60, which I did not post anything. But, you know, I think you all know, full disclosure, I'm 57. This is what 57 looks like. It's weird. People are weird. It's a misogyny thing. It's this idea that, you know, like only the young women are, you know, should be out there having sex. And I'm going to clue you in, folks. You know, it's... people, I think, full stop, people who want to have sex, keep having it their whole lives. And whether or not you have the perky breasts of a 20-year-old becomes decreasingly important as time goes on. There are a lot of other aspects to sex. I feel like this is a spoiler. There's a lot of other stuff going on in why people are attracted to each other and why they want to be with each other. That has nothing to do with physical perfection. Physical perfection is, you know, like maybe appears to be real on Instagram, you know, with all the photoshopping and everything. But most of us, we don't have to be physically perfect to be loved and desired. Fortunately, right? So there's that movie. Last night I saw Challengers, went with Megan, and I was really interested to see it because Dan Savage was talking on his podcast that he had not yet, but that he, and he was a bad sex podcaster because everybody had been out, already seeing it and talking about it. And, there, it's a, I don't want to spoil it, but I will say, so if you don't know what it is, it's Zendaya and two, I don't even know the actors' names anymore, two very hot young men, and they meet as teenagers on the tennis championship circuit, and there is this relationship between the two men who have been friends since they were 12, and they both fall in love with Zendaya. And I think it was, I know about it mostly because of Dan Savage's podcast. Megan said it had been marketed all wrong. I hadn't seen the marketing, but she was like, totally not what the movie was. You all, it is such a good movie. It is so well done. It is subtle. It's full of interesting relationship dynamics. There's these great focuses on the scars, like in one of the opening shots, and many of you will know that I am, excuse me, I'm a little froggy here. And in one of the establishing shots, my friend Melinda Snodgrass corrected me on the term there. In the establishing shot, it shows Zendaya in character sitting there, and you can see the big ACL scar down her knee as she's sitting on the sidelines of a tennis match. And right away that she is not playing tennis because she blew out her knee. There's some great glimpses of the various scars, and I love the metaphors of it. There's this great metaphor of this storm that happens at the climax of the movie with these winds that are blowing garbage around, blowing all of this trash around. And it is so emblematic of their lives and what's gone on in their relationships. Highly recommend this movie. I recommend both for entirely different reasons. We can love both for different reasons, right? Which leads me to today's rant. And some of this is, I don't know, like people get confused, I guess. Okay, so let me tell you what happened is I saw a very well-known, well-established author on Threads, probably someone I think who has only traditionally published it. I don't know if they've ever self-published, but they have done very well and influential, influential voice. Someone that I don't know. It is a loud voice in the community, and I've read their books and I like their books. And so this person says, I won't tease you any longer. This person gets on Threads and says, "If you're a fantasy reader, I promise, historicals are just hanging out around the corner waiting to be discovered. We've got the dresses, the danger, the characters fighting against restrictive society, the badass heroines, and the brooding heroes. All we're missing is the wings." And this is what I decided not to reply to. You all get to hear my reply instead. There's a lot of levels to this that really annoys me. One is historical romance has been around forever. It is the gateway drug romance for most of us. It certainly was for me. When I was a 12-year-old, my very first romance was an historical romance, a blushing English rose who gets kidnapped into a sultan's harem. And I gobbled it up. I loved historical romances. I loved for the pirates and yes, the gowns and the brooding heroes and all of these things. And for a very, very, very long time, I would not read anything besides historical romance. And I can absolutely vouch that it was Nora Roberts who popped my cherry on contemporary romance. I don't remember why I read one of her books or which one it was. I may have been like desperate for something to read anything. And I was a convert to contemporary romance. And I have very good friends. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Minerva Spencer writes historical romance. I beta read for her. Love her books, love what she's doing them in them. Historical romance is not fantasy. Okay? It's just not. And I will get into that rant in a bit, because I have a multi-layered rant on this. But before that, I want to say, what the hell? Why are you someone who has been doing very, very well in their genre, exceedingly well, right? Things have been great. You're looking at readers reading romanticy, reading fantasy romance, which is enjoying a short boom, and you what? Have to shit on it? You have to go out there and say, all of you people reading that stuff, you should be reading my stuff? I'm so bothered by that. Why can't we all just enjoy the fact that people are reading instead of standing there with your sign saying, "Don't read that stuff, come read my stuff." Maybe that is not how this author intended it, but it totally came off as sour grapes to me. And I understand because this is a difficult business. It's hard. It's hard for all of us. We watch these trends come and go. And right now, traditional publishing only wants to buy romanticy. They're all filling up their coffers with romanticy. And it's hard to sell a historical romance to trad. Both historical romance and contemporary romance have really been taken over by self-publishing. And it's harder and harder to get deals in those genres, right? But that doesn't mean that you go on social media and say, branch out from reading that, read my thing. It's just really. So I'm going to let that go. I promise. I'll try. I will try. And it is that aspect, which is part of why I didn't feel like I could rationally go and comment on this thread and do a well, actually. But the part that I wanted to rationally address, that I wanted to do my really but no, is when this author says, we have the dresses, the danger, the characters fighting against restrictive society, the badass heroines and brooding heroes. All we're missing is the wings. And that is such an insultingly reductive way to talk about fantasy that flames on the sides of my face. That is not what fantasy is about. And this idea that it is somehow, well, it was a deliberate poke at a particular author and genre, which everybody can see, like we all know what author they're talking about, which also makes this a low blow. But the presence of wings does not a fantasy make. And I get that this was a flip and cutesy thing to say. And with most cutesy and flip things, it landed with a thud on a number of us. And I want to address the idea of fantasy, as opposed to science fiction. And, like with CIFWA, we are the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association. When we are talking about fantasy romance, we're talking about fantasy with romance in it. And there's a lot of disagreement on how much fantasy there should be, how much world building there should be. And, world building is super important to me because I consider myself to be right down the middle of fantasy plus romance. And yeah, I don't, personally, as a reader, I don't like the window dressing fantasy. What Assistant Corrine dubbed to my amusement Renaissance fair fantasy. But a lot of people like that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it is more than dresses and restrictive societies that make a society, or sorry, that make a fantasy. And I'm going to read you a definition from Merriam-Webster that we use the word fantasy in a lot of different senses. And I think that confuses people, because I did see some people arguing about, well, all fiction is fantasy, right? You know, it's all a fantasy. And yeah, maybe. I actually don't agree with that, but I can see why people think it. The first definition of fantasy, which comes from phantasmagoria, and it is the power or process of creating especially unrealistic or improbable mental images in response to psychological need. Second definition, a creation of the imaginative faculty, whether expressed or merely conceived. And then as far as the sort of sub-definition of that, it says imaginative fiction featuring especially strange settings and grotesque characters. And that's why it's more than wings, right? And just to continue exploring etymology of fantasy, that it comes from Greek fantasian, which then became fantasia, originally from to make visible, right? To make visible. So the thing is fantasy as a genre has a very long history, right? You know, I complain about Tolkien, you know, being the be-all and end-all, but fantasy as a genre has been around for a very long time. Blending romance into it, giving us the romance that Tolkien didn't give us, is a new way, or a new-ish way of doing it, which is why I call mine epic fantasy romance. But it doesn't mean you just pop wings in there and you're done, or you don't just pop turkey legs in there and call it fantasy. To me, and this is absolutely, I will mea culpa out the wazoo here, this is my very strong feeling on the topic, that fantasy involves creating a secondary fantasy world. And there are people who will lump in alternate history and time travel, witness Outlander, into fantasy. And I give those the side eye. I really think that an alternate history is not actually a fantasy. I think that there should be, I think it should go according to this definition. Imaginative fiction featuring especially strange settings and grotesque characters. And I think we could probably, you know, what are we going to do with the grotesque? But I was so personally offended by this flip remark that, all we're doing in writing these epic fantasy novels is writing historical romance with wings. And I feel like that's like somebody saying, you know, hey, romance readers, you should read women's fiction. We're exactly like romance, but without the HEA. It's, you know, it's a smack in the face. It really is. And I understand that it comes from a place of envy, right? You know, everybody wants to be writing the hot genre, and we don't all get to be writing the hot genre, and it sucks, and it would be nice if we had more career stability than we have, but we don't go slamming on other authors, right, to elevate ourselves, and that's what this felt like. So I felt like that was badly done. I can't recall if I had other layers to this. I think I've covered them all. Do I have a finishing point here? I know that I saw some people saying that they felt like, yes, that historical romance scratched the same itch that fantasy romance does, that they think there's a lot of crossover. And that's great. You know, for me, romance is romance. I love reading all kinds of romance. I love reading all kinds of fantasy that isn't romance too. But telling, I'm really tired of readers being told, oh, hey, stop reading this thing you're reading. You should be reading this other thing over here, because it's exactly the same. And those of you who are readers out there, you know what you want. Yeah, just read what you want, write what we want. Let's try not to take jabs at what other people are writing. Okay. On that note, I'm going to go. I will talk to you all on Monday. You all take care. Bye-bye.